Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and Ryan O'Halloran.
All right, Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union, Fat Tony here with you, Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Coming out strong. I'm going to go strong with the voice until the dust particles settle in to my little bronchia.
Takes me back to elementary school with the asbestos.
Is that what it is? Is that the, I was trying to place that that smell, Ryan, and it may be that. I'm hoping that's not the case, although now with the rain, the situation is they're working on the club seats, and there are some gaps that have occurred that have – every time it rains, we get to experience the full brunt of Mother Nature here in the studio. And it's dried out, but in the process, we're now missing maybe a third of the ceiling tiles in the room, roughly, something like that. You know, got a quarter to a third of the ceiling tiles, which has opened us up to who knows what kind of gifts could be lurking up there in the insulation zone. So we've got that going for us. And on top of that, I walked in. It was kind of cool out this morning. Was it cool out to you, Ryan?
Yeah.
I walked in, and I walked in the lobby, and I'm like, oh, man, kind of the heat's on. But it kind of actually felt good when you first walked in because it was really cool outside. And then you're in here for a couple minutes, and you ever get that one bead of sweat that rolls right down between your two shoulder blades, right down the middle of your back? Had a few of those so far today. So got that cooking for us, Ryan. And cooking is the operative term.
Yes.
Back from Tally today, huh?
Yes, I was in Tallahassee yesterday for Pro Day, but I never pass up a chance to make fun of the hacker.
And that opportunity is coming
now.
Now? It's right now.
Do it now. I have no idea why he goes to Disney World with just himself.
Well, he goes with his wife.
His wife.
Okay, but the two. No kids involved.
I went there Saturday with my brother's family, which includes a 4-year-old, a 9-year-old.
Okay.
And going there requires people to be patient.
Definitely.
I cannot see that as your strong
That's
suit.
That's not my strong suit.
But it's your brother's kids. It's your
it's
little
not their strong
niece
suit,
and or nephews.
But, so I had fun with my niece. We went on some roller coasters and stuff. So, but you know, the key point is it's always funny walking out of that place and watching the other people who just want to kill themselves.
Oh, yeah.
But
by the time you get to the end of a day with the kids in Disney, you're just watching these adults that are like, oh, my gosh.
Dirt. I got my picture with Mickey.
Dirt. Now, is your niece the 4-year-old or the 9-year-old?
She's the 9-year-old.
The 9-year-old. So the next time out there, I want Jaguars Today listeners to picture this. The next time you think Ryan O'Halloran is a miserable so-and-so with no redeeming qualities whatsoever, there's a 9-year-old little girl who thinks Uncle Ryan is the coolest guy in the world right there. Okay, so you remember that out there, Jaguars Today audience. That is the 4 to 9-year-old range. Really, not even 9, I thought my kid was like, all right, enough with the Disney thing. But the 4 to 6, that's the sweet spot, I think, for Disney. And everything's like,
to voluntarily put yourself in a that small a space with that many kids that many times a year, I just don't get it.
Well, if you have kids, and
if
they,
you
they
have
like
kids,
it,
yeah,
right.
that's what I'm saying.
That's one thing.
We're talking about Hacker here.
I understand.
This is just a guy going with his wife to go do that. Like
he
I went
likes
and saw.
It's okay.
I went and saw Batman vs Superman yesterday, and there was an 8-year-old kid who thought he was Batman. Like every time Batman showed up on the screen, there was one kid in my theater that would stand up and go, "That's me!" Like every time.
Wow.
He was really excited.
Shut
and I'm
up.
I'm watching his parents react to Batman breaking people in half and doing these different things.
I'm about to murder you with a gun.
Fire shotguns at cops and do these different things. And I'm like, your kid thinks that's him. You may want to have a conversation.
Thanks, Zack Snyder. Appreciate that. Tony, I'll ask you the question that Heather always asks Colin. On a scale of 0 to 10, 0 being the worst movie ever, 10 being the greatest movie ever created, what do you give it? Batman versus Superman.
It's Rotten Tomatoes got it about right. It's about a 3.
About a 3?
Yeah.
All right. Colin gave it a 5.5, but for him, that's like giving it a 0.
It's just it's a big mess of a movie. Like, they have scenes that don't even go together. It just feels like it's going jumping from scene to scene to scene.
Did they do an Inception thing? Did they do a dream within a dream at some point?
I don't know.
It's hard to tell, right?
I don't know. Like, when he fought all the buggy things for that minute when he's trying to get the kryptonite and it turns out to just be
that's a vision of the future.
Yeah,
yes.
Like a dream thing. Like, the combat was terrible in that scene. That was horrific. watching Batman fight through that scene. It was just bad choreography, and that's kind of the movie. It was just this big mess with too much in it.
I mean, my red flag is the studio had to know it sucked, or else they would have opened it in the summer.
Well, they were going to open it in May,
yeah.
And then Marvel put the new Captain America Civil War movie up against it on the exact same day. So they moved it. It's supposed to open a week prior, and then Marvel said, well, we're going to put Daredevil Season 2 out on Netflix on the exact same day. And then they moved it again. And that had to if they're afraid of a Netflix original series, that was probably, which you can watch at any time if you have Netflix, that was probably not a good harbinger. Although a lot of people said, you know, with all the Jesus imagery with Superman opening on Good Friday was not necessarily the worst thing.
It was one of the complaints about Man of Steel, too.
Right.
Like all just the Christ imagery that they have in relation to Superman. And now, not only do you still have all that stacked in there, but you have this insane villain in the middle of this very subdued world. Lex Luthor, I'm not sure exactly what they were doing. I kind of half dug his madness a little bit, but that was like the comic relief of the movie was that Lex is a psychopath.
Well, how did he become a psychopath? Because in the beginning of the movie, he seemed pretty... actually reasonable. Like,
whatever his daddy did to him was bad.
Right, but he was like a bad guy who just, you know, had some issues but was a really smart guy, and then he was just Looney Tunes by the end. Didn't make a whole lot of sense. Yeah. Anyway, today, fan feedback question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships. We were talking about guys working out, and specifically Miles Jack was supposed to have a private workout. He did work out now. He did do positional drills at the UCLA Pro Day, and by all accounts looked very good doing them, but he didn't run a 40. He didn't work out for individual teams. He said he was going to hold his own. What's happening with me?
I don't know.
It's like five times in 2 days I knocked over my bottle of drank, and fortunately it's capped up. But so Miles Jack was going to work out this Friday, and now that has been put off, perhaps, I get the sense, permanently, and we won't see him again on a football field until after the draft. A
couple thoughts on this, because sort of hearing about it yesterday when we were driving back from Tallahassee, so you got time to debate it a little bit. One is, okay, from the red flag standpoint, okay, just please tell us there's not a setback. Okay, once you establish that. My guess is that the agent has been told by teams he doesn't need to run. We've seen enough on tape. We saw enough during the agility drills. He's not, he's going to be on.
He knows
our board.
What the floor is, where he's coming off the board, kind of thing.
Yeah. So okay, he does. There's no point in running him in case he runs slower than expected, or let's say he tweaks a hamstring.
Right.
You know, the goal for his camp right now should be that he's totally healthy for the start of OTAs. In terms of maybe he's not cleared, but there is nothing. There's no lingering stuff come late May.
So with this development, though, we are asking today on the family dealerships, Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question of the day, does it concern you, does it give you pause if a player won't work out before the draft, does it affect your desire for the Jaguars to take him? And that could be for whatever reason. We're thinking of Miles Jack, but this is you can broaden this out to include any player. We've had a lot of responses, makes me wonder what they're hiding, and that could be the case. Could be that he's hiding, that he's not as far along in his development, or he's at a setback with his health. We don't know. I don't think that's the case. They say he's 80 to 85%. They said he was 80% when he worked out at UCLA's Pro Day a few weeks ago, Ryan. And you may be right. Maybe he's been told, hey, the floor is here. Yeah. Don't do anything to screw it up. Maybe he knows he's a top five draft pick.
Yeah, and then they're putting out those videos on Twitter, sort of that, you know, in case teams do have a concern. You know, because from his standpoint, even if it is a negative, negative impact in the media who drop him in their mocks, doesn't matter. You know, all that matters is he flagged by a team. All indications are that's not happening. So, I choose not to run. As
right.
Jerry Seinfeld
that's what he's doing. And you can tweet us your responses to the question of the day at MD_1010XL at Ryan O'Halloran. At 1010XL, Fat Tony, and on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. The phone lines will be open to you throughout at 641-1010. It's also the 1010XL text line driven by Duval Ford. We've got Scott Wright from DraftCountdown.com coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll talk with Ryan about his viewing of the FSU Pro Day. Call it the Jalen Ramsey Pro Day, if you will, for all intents and purposes. So we'll discuss that coming up. And also, if you missed Blake Bortles this morning appearing on the drill, we'll have some of his thoughts coming your way as well. Keep in mind, Miami's Pro Day is taking place today for the Canes, so we'll discuss that as we go ahead on Thursday and Friday the rest of this week. We'll get into what goes down there in South Florida. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony with you. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday just underway. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I want them to pick me because they know I'm the best player in this year's draft, not because I'm a guy from Tennessee. That's just icing on the cake. I want them to really feel like I'm the best player in this draft, when I definitely feel like I am, and I feel like I continue to show it.
That's Jalen Ramsey, Florida State Seminole defensive back. Easiest way to describe him. Saying that just because he is from Tennessee, and I believe a Nashville native, much like Fat Tony, we've got you here in Jacksonville, Tony. Maybe we could have Jalen Ramsey. But he wants to go to the Titans. He wants to go to the Titans because he wants to be the number one overall pick.
Sure.
Hence, you get the most money.
And if I was that kind of athletic, I wouldn't be sitting here with you. I'd be playing some ball, boy.
Oh, man, come on. You don't know. You might have taken too many hits in your career by this point, man. You're getting to be an old fogey like me now.
I'd be hanging out with Mojo in L.A.
You would. You'd be on NFL Network. Yeah. You'd be talking about video games on podcasts and things like that. Ryan O'Halloran, intrepid reporter for the Florida Times-Union, was out in Tallahassee yesterday to take in Ramsey and the rest of the Seminoles, a handful of them. We'll probably get drafted this year, down from most years, but a lot of returning talent. Ryan, what did you see? Were you able to watch what he did, all of his actual workout?
Yeah, the whole position drills. Mm-hmm. He didn't run the 40, didn't do the jumping. But it was pretty eye-popping in terms of how graceful he was in terms of changing direction, backpedal, stop, start, run straight forward. Just his movements seemed very effortless, and you know, he stood out from the rest of the defensive backs there because he looked bigger, faster, stronger.
That is one thing. I mean, he's so big, right? Yeah. And you envision him as a cornerback. You're like, wow, this guy, he's big, he's thick, he's well-muscled. Do you hear what was the buzz? Was there chatter as he was working out, like, wow, this guy really is the real deal? Or what was the sense you got?
Not a lot of chatter, because the scouts were separated from us.
Okay.
They were standing on the field. We were on the sidelines. But, you know, there wasn't any oohing and aahing, because it's not a quarterback, a receiver,
right,
stuff like that. But I talked to a scout afterwards, and who I've known for a long time, and I said, corner or free safety? He said, take your pick, either one. It's going to depend on the scheme, you know, the team's need. Like, San Diego would be drafting him to play free safety. Jacksonville would probably draft him to be a corner.
You would assume, right, because of the signing of Tashaun Gibson. Yeah. Does that then – do they have to then evaluate him and say, we only see him as a corner for the near term? Because you're not signing Tashaun Gibson to that contract thinking he's a placeholder. You're thinking that's your guy for a while now.
Yeah, and I put that in the story today, is the moment they signed Gibson to that term and that money, they had concluded one of two things, and maybe both. One, that Ramsey wasn't going to be on the board at five. And two, if he was, they were going to take him as a corner. And 2 days later, they signed Amukamara to a one-year deal.
One-year deal, right.
That further confirmed, okay, they're not – Ramsey's still in play. But he's in play as a corner. So,
do you think Hargraves then is in play? If Ramsey's gone, is Hargraves a serious consideration? We mentioned off the air, you and I were discussing along with Tony here, Daniel Jeremiah updated his mock draft, I think it was yesterday, from NFL.com, and he has the Jags taken Hargraves with Miles Jack still available, for instance.
That would surprise me, because, you know, in the grand scheme of this defense, linebacker help is more of a need, and then corner help, because they still do like Aaron Colvin. He's still going to be out there 65% of the time.
House, they've got,
yeah,
right?
House, so he's a
longer term. You're developing Nick Marshall, you hope, right?
Mm-hmm. So they have options there, whereas, you know, and the other thing about Hargraves, the Jaguars seem to be moving a little bit away from their he's got to be this tall, he's got to be this big. I don't think they're willing to move that far away.
What is Hargraves, 5'10"?
Yeah, and just really lean. So I think Hargraves could be in play if they trade down a spot or two.
5'10", 204, by the way.
Yeah, so
How likely do you peg that right now? We don't know because we sit here and a lot of Jaguar fans will say, well, so-and-so happens, just trade down. It doesn't always present itself. But you never know. With the quarterbacks, the way it could play out this year, you've got a couple of potentially elite difference makers. It seems like, and Dave Caldwell has said as much, that he prefers one great guy to several good guys. So if he thinks he can get a great guy there, is he more likely than ever right now, knowing they need immediate impact, to stick at five as opposed to trade down?
Yeah, I've always thought that he would stay put for that reason, and going off that mantra. And he hasn't moved out of the top five the last 3 years. You know, where he likes to do his stuff is in the second, third, and fourth rounds. That's if he moves down in the first, he has more ammo to do that on the second night of the draft. But you know, if you're sitting at five and a quarterback is gone in the top four, you have a choice between your Bosa, Jack, Hargraves, Ramsey. Take one of them, because you probably feel strongly about one of them.
Well, yeah, if you have many options, I think you'll be fine. You got to figure, if Tunsil's gone, let's say one quarterback's gone, out of these other defensive players we're discussing, maybe Buckner goes to San Diego.
I saw Prisco had that. That's the key one, is if it goes Tunsil, Wentz, Goff, and Buckner in the top three.
Now you're feeling pretty good.
Now you're saying, okay, let's just stay put, wait our turn.
Right. You're gonna maybe miss out on your top guy, but yeah, at worst you'd get your second guy at that point.
And I think for this team, the top two guys would be Ramsey and Jack in either order. If that's the scenario, then you're guaranteed of getting one of them.
But your order is Ramsey, then Jack.
That would be my order.
Right. We don't know what their order would be, I'm going to just take a positive point of view on Miles Jack not working out. And I think the way you put it is probably the most positive way you can, that maybe teams have told him, look, we've seen enough, you know, that this is not going to hurt your draft stock. We kind of know. We saw enough at the UCLA Pro Day. He needed to do something, mm-hmm. I think, on the field. It wasn't a case like where it was Todd Gurley and he got hurt at a point where he wasn't going to be worked out. He's expected to be able to do some stuff before the draft. And so for him to do what he did at the UCLA Pro Day, hopefully is enough for teams that want him. And maybe it'll work in the Jags' favor. Maybe that'll be enough of a question mark for a team like Dallas to say, you know what, we'll go Bosa, we'll go some other direction. Maybe they do go quarterback at that spot.
Yeah, and Dallas, like San Diego, is going to be a key team to watch, because if they don't take Ramsey, okay, what are they thinking? Are they thinking Buckner? Are they thinking Ronnie Stanley? You haven't heard a ton of chatter about that lately.
That's a good point, though, because the offensive line was such a problem for them last year, and you would think if Tunsil were there, they would snatch up Tunsil, mm-hmm. so why not maybe consider the next guy who some of the pundits say is not that far behind Tunsil, mm-hmm. actually.
Yeah, and I thought Stanley makes sense, because, yes, you're probably overdrafting him by a half dozen picks, but
does it really matter?
It doesn't matter. And also the big thing is everything you do until Phillip Rivers retires is to make sure he's okay. And they re-signed one of their tackles, but even when they made these moves, I read San Diego reports saying, hey, this shouldn't change their draft priority. You know, they still need left and right tackle help. So,
right.
You know, there's not a lot of, it's an interesting draft because there's not a ton of star power, but there's a lot of different scenarios. And, you know, once you, like the top five, you can juggle a lot of different ones. Whereas last year, you knew what one and two is going to be two months away from the draft.
Right. All right. He is Ryan O'Halloran. Check him out on Twitter at Ryan O'Halloran, of course, and in the digital pages of the Florida Times Union. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. When we return in a moment, Scott Wright at DraftCountdown.com will join us. He has his first round mock already posted. He's got a second and third round done, which is yet to be released, but he's given us a preview of that. So we will discuss a few of the pertinent selections. Of course, what he has the Jaguars doing in rounds two and three will be high on that list. It's Jaguars Today. We're live at EverBank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome our next guest to the Metro Diner Chat Counter.
These are delicious.
On 1010XL, Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
All right, it is a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on Jaguars Today. We're live at EverBank. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, and Fat Tony here with you.
Ace of base.
You like that, huh?
Freshman year of college.
A big smile on Ryan's face. It's just, you know, you never know what music will cause him to go off. We know JT gets him going, but Ace of Base. There we go. We've got two on the list now.
Two.
Ever-growing. Ever-growing list of things that make Ryan O'Halloran happy. All right, we've got Scott Wright. He'll make you happy if you want to hear a little draft talk. The NFL draft starts a month from tomorrow, four weeks away. No, I mean a month, whatever you want to call it. 4 weeks from tomorrow is the first round of the NFL draft up in Chicago for the second consecutive year. Scott Wright has been opining on the draft for a number of years at DraftCountdown.com, and he joins us once again on 1010XL. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Thanks for having me.
You got it, buddy. We know you got an updated mock out. First round's already posted. Rounds 2 and 3 will go up this afternoon. I know you've been kind enough to send us a little bit of a sneak peek on this, but let's start with what you've got the Jaguars doing in round one, which I think would make most Jaguar fans happy based on the discussions that we've had in the last few weeks. You have Miles Jack going to Jacksonville. Two things, Scott. A, any concern for you, or what is your level of concern, the fact that it doesn't appear like he's going to do any more kind of working out, running, anything like that, on the advice of his agent and medical personnel as he continues the rehab process? And two, just talk about the fit you think he would be when healthy, if healthy, here in Jacksonville.
Sure. And everyone kind of compares his situation to Jalen Smith from Notre Dame, but it's really kind of apples and oranges. Jalen Smith hurt his knee months later, and it was much more serious, whereas Miles Jack, he's already, I think he said, 80%. He's already working out to some degree for scouts and impressing, even though he's only 80%. And it just recently came out that he might not run a 40-yard dash before the scouting combine. I really can't think of a workout result that would be less consequential than Miles Jack running a 40-yard dash. I mean, anybody who's seen him play knows that the speed and the movement skills are absolutely elite. And I don't usually use that word lightly, but it's true. I mean, this is a linebacker who covers like a cornerback. And in this day and age in the NFL that is so pass-happy, you need linebackers who can match up in coverage and get the job done in that regard. And not only is Miles Jack not going to be a liability, he's going to excel. So in terms of fit for Jacksonville, I think he'd be a perfect fit. I think he'd be a fit for anyone. He could play regardless of scheme. He could play inside. He could play outside. He's just a playmaker. And I think Jacksonville at 5, based on what they've done this offseason now, I think they're just in a position where they need to take the best defender available. I think the one thing they're lacking, really, on all three levels of that defense, is a difference maker. Just that guy who has that it factor, who can take over a game, who can be the centerpiece of a defense. And maybe Dante Fowler Jr. will be that. I'm not as high on him as some were. I think he's going to be a good player. I don't know if he's going to be a double-digit impact player. I think Miles Jack has the potential to be that. But Jack could be gone by number 5, but if he is, then I just think whoever the best defender available is. I don't think Jalen Ramsey, the defensive back from Florida State, will be there. Maybe Joey Bosa will be there, the defensive end from Ohio State. Maybe DeForest Buckner, the defensive end from Oregon. But just try to get a difference maker on the defense.
Scott, you have the three quarterbacks going in the top 15. Wentz second to Cleveland, Goff 7th to the Niners, and Lynch 15th to L.A. What separated Wentz from the other two?
Well, and for me personally, it's kind of a 1A, 1B situation with Wentz and Paxton Lynch. And then I think there's a little bit of a drop off to Goff. And it's not that I don't like Goff. I just don't like him as much as I like Wentz and Lynch. And the reason I personally gave Wentz a little bit of an edge, and I think the reason he's going to end up in Cleveland, is because he's a little bit further along and a little bit more polished. Even though he doesn't have a ton of experience, and coming from the FCS level, I think he's a little more polished than Paxton Lynch is, and maybe even Jared Goff, just because of the type of system he played in college, I think helped prepare him better for the next level. And then don't underestimate the factor too of the weather. And I know somebody mentioned that, well, Carson Wentz, he played indoors at North Dakota, but he grew up in North Dakota, and I'm from right next door, Minnesota. And believe me when I say he's going to have no trouble dealing with cold weather. He's used to it being from this area. And that's something you're going to have to deal with playing in Cleveland and the surrounding areas in that division. So I don't think that's a factor that can be underestimated. And really, Wentz has checked all of the boxes during this pre-draft process, starting with the Senior Bowl, where he looked like he belonged immediately, right off the bat, both on the field and off the field. I think that went a long way towards alleviating any concerns teams might have had about the level of competition. And really impressing teams with his intangibles as well. His intelligence, he scored a 40 out of 50 on the Wonderlic. By all accounts, he's a hard worker. He's a team leader. And it's not unprecedented for an FCS quarterback to go that early. It's rare, but Steve McNair was third overall pick. So it's happened before, and I think it's going to happen again with Wentz. And the only question now is whether somebody might try to trade up to number one to steal him away from the Browns.
Scott, you mentioned difference-making players on all three levels in the defense could be what the Jaguars are looking for. Everyone kind of feels like Jalen Ramsey could potentially be that in the secondary. Miles Jack could be that at linebacker. Is there a difference-making defensive lineman that could be available to the Jags at five? Is Joey Bosa a difference-maker if he comes to Jacksonville?
He could be, and he's not a transcendent talent. He's not an elite talent like, say, Jadeveon Clowney, but he might be a better football player and certainly a more well-rounded football player. Not only can he make an impact rushing the passer, but he can do it from both the outside and the inside. You can move him all up and down the defensive line, and I think that versatility is one of the more intriguing aspects of Joey Bosa and a good all-around player. He plays the run well. So even though he's not necessarily that elite talent, he's just off that elite range in terms of his grade. I think he's going to be a top-five pick, and I think if Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack are gone, I think he'd be a good fit for the Jaguars. Is that their most pressing need right now? No, probably not. I think there's some repetition there maybe with Malik Jackson. I think there's some similarities there to a certain degree, but you can never have enough good football players. And Joey Bosa, even though his numbers dropped off this past year, and he didn't put up as impressive a totals in terms of the tackles for a loss and sacks that you'd like to see, the box scores don't nearly tell the whole story. He was so much more disruptive than the numbers would lead you to believe. And he's definitely one of the top five players in this draft, and he's a legitimate top five to top ten overall pick in any draft.
If Dante Fowler had played another year, he was coming into this draft, played the same kind of season that he played last year at Florida, would Fowler be the guy that we're talking about as being the first pass rusher off the board? How does he compare with some of these other guys in this draft?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting question. I haven't really thought about that. And I think he'd absolutely be a top 10 overall pick this year. The reason I hesitate to say, well, he'd be ahead of Joey Bosa, he'd be ahead of DeForest Buckner, I don't think he's as good a player as either of those two, but I think he brings a different dimension in that he could play the 3-4 outside linebacker. So I think that would make him a little bit more valuable in this class because there is a drop-off after Bosa, after Buckner for those pass rushers. And I think we're going to see some guys like maybe Noah Spence from Eastern Kentucky, Emmanuel Ogba from Oklahoma State get pushed up the board a little bit just because there is a little bit of a vacuum. But I think Dante Fowler, and I got to preface it with saying that once again that I wasn't quite as high on him coming out. I think he's a really good player. A player I compared him to coming out of college was Derek Morgan. He's been a really good, solid player for the Tennessee Titans, and I think he's going to be a 7-sack-a-year type of player and a good all-around player, similar to Bosa in that regard, where he's not necessarily dynamic in any one specific regard, but he does everything really well. But I think Fowler would be a legitimate top 10 pick in this draft, but I don't know if he'd go as high as he did last year.
Scott Wright, DraftCountdown.com here. Scott, for some reason, I don't have round three up in front of me. If you could tell us who the Jags you had taken in round three. I know you had Ryan Kelly, the center from Alabama, in round two. So let's discuss him first and give you a chance to maybe bring that up. But Kelly, if he's on the board, a lot of people think he may even go in the first round. The Jags have a need at one of the interior spots. They may play Brandon Linder at center, and then A.J. Cann will play one of the guard spots, and there may be a competition for the other one. If they drafted a guy like Ryan Kelly, obviously you would project him to come in and start. How good is he and how clear of the rest of the field of centers? He seems to stand head and shoulders with all the draft community above anybody at that position.
Yeah, he kind of does. And he is the consensus top center in this class. And there's even chatter that he could sneak into the back end of the first round. And we see that sometime with offensive linemen, tackles, guards, and centers. More often than not, if somebody is a first-round pick that we didn't expect, a lot of times it is a blocker, and Kelly's going to be right in that mix. And Jacksonville, they've been the center position's been an area of problem now for a number of years. And they've tried to address it. They've tried in free agency, the draft. Nothing's really worked out, so it might be time to make that significant investment and just solve the problem once and for all. And Ryan Kelly is a heck of a player and type of player who does everything well, not only with the physical tools, but he's got the intangibles, a nice blend of the strength and athleticism. So he's the type of player who can come in and start from day one in the pivot, and you can put him there for the next decade and not have to worry about it. And I think at this point, Jacksonville will probably be happy with that type of solution because it has been kind of a sore spot for so long now.
Who do you have them? Do you have it in front of you? Who do you have them taking in the third round?
You know what? To be determined. That's actually the very next thing I'm working on when I get off the phone with you is mapping out the third round of the mock draft.
Okay.
But I can tell you it's probably going to be a defensive back still. I'm kind of leaning that way. And a guy I kind of have my eye on that I think would be a good fit for the Jaguars, Jalen Mills, cornerback slash safety out of LSU. And I know they've kind of loaded up that in the secondary in the past couple, 3 years, but they still don't really have that, once again, that difference maker out there, that standout. And Jalen Mills, I'm a big fan of his. I think he's being underrated in part because he was hurt a little bit as a senior, but I think he impressed at the Senior Bowl with his ability to not only play safety, but to maybe even line up at corner. He's so big, fluid, and athletic that whether it's a free safety or a cornerback, I think he's a good fit for the Jaguars. So that, if off the top of my head, that's probably who I'm going to put for the Jaguars in round three.
Looking at the top half of the first round again, Scott, who are a couple players that you're not high on but will be overdrafted?
Well, one I'm interested to see is Shaq Lawson, the defensive end from Clemson. It's not that I don't like him. It's just for the type of player he is, I wouldn't be surprised if he slides a little bit in the draft just because he's a 4-3 defensive end only. And he worked out a little better than expected, tested out with better athletic numbers, but he's a little bit stiff. And because he is such a specific fit, I think maybe there's some medical concerns there as well. I think he could fall maybe more towards the back end of the first round as opposed to the top 10 as some have him. Another player who maybe I'm not quite as high on as some people would be, Reggie Ragland, the inside linebacker from Alabama. And here again, it's not a case that I don't like him necessarily. I just think looking at the history of the draft, players like him tend to slide a little bit. And I think of a Ray Maluga type of player. There's some athletic limitations with Ragland. He's not necessarily going to be a guy that you want to get exposed in coverage too often. He's more of an in-the-box thumper. He tried to show that he could play outside linebacker as well at the Senior Bowl, but it's pretty clear he's an inside linebacker. And I think on tape, you can make a really good argument that he's one of the 20 best players in this draft, but I wouldn't be shocked if he slid a little bit. And I actually have him falling to the top pick of the second round, so I think that's probably one area where my mock draft differs from most. I just have a feeling Reglin's going to slide because of the type of player he is. Nothing against him as a player. He's a heck of a player. Just that the positional value, teams aren't really looking for thumper middle linebackers in the top 20.
Scott, I believe you had Vernon Hargraves going 13th overall, which is lower than most people have him. A lot of people consider him maybe the best pure corner in the draft. If you look at Ramsey as a bit of a tweener between corner and safety, is that something where you just maybe think he's a little bit overrated by the others, or was just that a matter of fitting him in where a team had needs? What are your overall views on Vernon Hargraves?
It honestly, it's kind of a little bit of all of that, and I like him as a player. The only concern with him is the size. He came in at 5'10 and a half, and it's not unprecedented for a sub-6-foot corner to go in the top 10 overall. It certainly happened, but it's somewhat rare. It doesn't happen that often, and I could see him going as high as number 6 to the Baltimore Ravens. I think the Eagles could look at him at number 8, the Buccaneers at number 9, even the Giants at 10. There's definitely a lot of potential landing spots for Hargraves in the back end of that top 10, but I just don't know that with his size that teams would be willing to make that early an investment. Maybe they will because the film says they should. He's a terrific all-around player. And the other thing at cornerback, too, is keep an eye on William Jackson III from Houston and Eli Apple from Ohio State to potentially go earlier than expected simply because they bring something to the table that the other top corners other than Jalen Ramsey in this class lack, which is that size. Vernon Hargraves is 5'10 and a half. Mackenzie Alexander from Clemson, I think, is 5'10 and 3'8", something like that. Apple and Jackson are both 6 feet plus. They run 4'4", sub 4'4". So I wouldn't be surprised if they get pushed up the board and come off the board earlier than expected. But Hargraves, I think, somewhere in that 6 to 13 range. I think I'll be surprised if he's not up the board there. And I probably have him on the low end of that. And I think the Dolphins would be happy if he was still there at 13. But even if he's gone, I wouldn't be surprised if they audible to one of those other corners I mentioned, Jackson or Apple, as early as the middle of the first round.
Speaking of the Dolphins, in the second round at 42, you have them taking Derrick Henry, Jacksonville area native. What have you liked about his tape?
Well, and of course the Dolphins have been acting almost desperate for a running back, you could say, this offseason. It seems like they've been in on every guy and getting left at the altar. So that's still an area they want to improve. They clearly are not sold on Jay Ajayi, who they drafted last year. And Derrick Henry is kind of a polarizing prospect. And I think the reason it's so hard to get a read on him is because he's kind of a unicorn. You just don't see guys like him at that position. And I think the closest comparison was probably Brandon Jacobs, and he hasn't been in the league for half a decade. He truly is like a linebacker playing the running back position. But to me, Derrick Henry is clearly running back two, although the biggest drop-off in this entire draft from one to two might be at a running back. Ezekiel Elliott from Ohio State is clearly the cream of the crop, and then I don't think we're going to have another running back in the first round. I think Henry's going to go somewhere early to mid-second round. And then after that, all bets are really off at the running back position, because I think it's going to be very much a case of beauty in the eye of the beholder after Elliott and Henry, where there's probably five or six guys in a tier, and it just depends on what type of player you're looking for. So I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of consensus at the running back position this year, and particularly on day two after Elliott and Henry come off the board. That's where I'm going to be interested, just as a fan of the draft, to see what teams think of this running back class, because it's pretty murky.
All right, Scott, for folks, again, who haven't checked out DraftCountdown.com before, newly redesigned, it looks very nice, and you've got Miles Jack to the Jags in round one, Ryan Kelly from Alabama, the center, in round two, and leaning right now towards Jalen Mills, the LSU defensive back, in round three, in a three-round mock, which will be updated by this afternoon. Again, DraftCountdown.com online, and then on Twitter at Draft Countdown as well. Scott Wright, our guest. Scott, we'll look forward to catching up with you again, hopefully one more time before the actual thing gets underway in about 4 weeks. But we appreciate the time this morning, man.
It was my pleasure. Good talking to you guys.
All right,
thanks,
got
Scott. Good
Scott
stuff.
Wright, DraftCountdown.com. How are you going to feel if the Jags? Those are pretty good players to get, right? Miles Jack. People will be happy with that. I don't think Ryan Kelly would be that out of the box if they went with him in round two, Ryan. But then they go defensive back. Forget who it is. Doesn't matter. No edge rusher. Not even an attempt. Do you think what are the likelihood they go three rounds without at least spending one pick on a guy who is a quote-unquote pass rusher?
I could see it happening because the pool looks like it thins quickly.
The way it plays out, yeah. Potentially, yeah.
Because a lot of – I mean – stating the obvious here, a lot can happen between picks 6 and 36 and then 38 and 75, something like that. So, you know, what I think the Jags have to be prepared for is like what happened 2 years ago. There was a run on guards. They moved up to get Linder. You know, let's say they draft Ryan Kelly in the second round. They got to be looking at their board saying, okay, we have to trade from the third into the second to get one
the
of those,
last of the pass rushers that they may like.
I mean, if they end the second night of the draft without a pass rusher, that is interesting.
Right, and it could work out. You know, they may be taking the best players available under that scenario. You're just going to have to see what happens. Stay tuned. It's 4 weeks away from tomorrow, round one of the NFL draft. Coming back to Dayton football and the Honda Drive around the NFL, it's a Metro Rooter Wednesday on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history is brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry right here in town on Gate Parkway. What I've got for you today is a list of famous birthdays. We'll start with the most recent first to go backwards. Starting in 1988, Richard Sherman, born on this date, turns 28 years old, still one of the top cornerbacks in football.
Don't you ever open your mouth about me.
No, keep my
Who
name out your mouth.
Who was talking about you?
No one was talking about him, but Richard Sherman likes to come off as an angry young man sometimes. But a three-time Pro Bowler, three-time first-team All-Pro. Lomas Brown. Oh, this is Lomas Brown. We have one of the all-time classic 1010XL drops. Lomas Brown, the former Gator, seven-time Pro Bowler, turns 53 today, and a one-time first-team All-Pro. Played, of course, primarily with the Detroit Lions in his career. And Willie Gallimore, Tony. Willie Gallimore's a guy who was born in 1935 in St. Augustine, Florida. Okay, went to Florida A&M, was a great college tailback, averaged about 4.5 yards a carry. Played in the NFL for 5 or 6 years, maybe 7 years, with Chicago. Won a championship in 1963, averaging for his career about 4.5 yards per carry, and then passed away in an automobile accident at the age of 29 years old. He was born on this date, March 30th, 1935. He was also a civil rights activist during his playing days. The Chicago Bears retired his jersey number when he passed away in 1964, just after winning the championship. There's a community center down in St. Augustine, the Willie Gallimore Center, and I didn't know all that much about him and was reading up on him today, so I know a lot of people who live in St. Augustine, particularly in the Lincolnville area, know all about the exploits of Willie Gallimore, born on this date in 1935, passing away July 27, 1964, at the way too young age of 29 years old. So rest in peace, Willie, but he was born on this date in football history, which is brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry on Gate Parkway. If you need a family dentist, if you need some cosmetic work done, either way, call 620-9225. Visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
The San Diego Chargers, who have a year to exclusively negotiate with the Los Angeles Rams about joining them in L.A., are planning to bring a plan to vote in November that could include a downtown stadium that they believe would make San Diego a Super Bowl destination again, and support other San Diego-based events such as the annual Comic-Con. The NFL and Chargers franchise is expected to be able to foot $650 million of the billion-dollar price tag with a 4% hotel tax increase to cover the other $350 million if it passes. If San Diego and the Rams can't agree to some deal within this year, the Oakland Raiders could get an opportunity to join the Rams in Los Angeles. We mentioned it yesterday, but linebacker Carlos Dansby signed with Cincinnati. Offensive guard Jeff Schwartz, who has dealt with injuries the last couple of seasons since signing in free agency with the New York Giants, has reached an agreement with the Detroit Lions. And in light of what we're talking about today with our fan feedback question of the day, Miles Jack saying he's not going to work out between now and the combine or the draft again. Former Utah running back Devontae Booker says that he will be working out here in a couple weeks, April 12th, for NFL scouts after recovering from a similar injury, a knee meniscus tear that required surgery in late November for Booker. So he is expected to be back out there working out. Of course, he probably needs to help his draft prospects a little bit more than Miles Jack does.
Yeah, Devontae Booker, though, I think is a guy that, talking to some people who've watched the film on him, is going to grow on people. And you shouldn't be surprised. I think, in fact, Scott Wright had him slipping into the late second round, right? Carolina taking him. He's just kind of a good all-around back. He's that prototypical size, not too big, not too small, just kind of in that sweet spot range, and a good all-around back. So
they used and abused him at Utah. Like
he
was one of those guys that was going to get 35, 40 carries a week every week for them when they were pushing into the top 10, top 5, kept running that undefeated record into the middle part of the season, and they just kind of ran him into the ground and eventually caused a knee injury, obviously, for him.
Right. All right. Speaking of knee injuries, someone on the text line, which is driven by Duval Ford, asked, what exactly was the injury to Miles Jack knee? He had an anterior meniscus tear is what he had. So, you know, the meniscus not nearly as significant as the ACL or the MCL. But anytime you got to go in there and start shaving things down, Ryan, it's not ideal.
It doesn't grow back.
Right. The meniscus does not grow back. You've got a limited amount. And so, you know, guys come back from meniscus injuries all the time, and they're fine. But it has been a while, you know, start of the season. So, people would, I think, like to see him do more. But he did work out at UCLA. He did a number of drills at UCLA. So I think that, you know, unless he's had some setback that they're hiding, I think the feeling is he is on pace to get where he needs to be. He will have a medical recheck, by the way. And he went through one at the combine the first time, and he said, you know, they pulled on my knee, they did all the things, which is something Todd Gurley wouldn't allow them to do last year. So you feel probably okay that he's not really hiding anything significant at this point.
Yeah, and then Shaq Lawson is going back there for a shoulder at the request of the Jaguars.
Do you like him?
I like him a lot at 37.
Right.
But I don't think he's going to be there. He looks to be the kind of guy that really thrived because he played with a lot of other good players.
We Tony and I had a question the other day. I don't think you were in when we did this one. That in the scenario where no quarterback goes, and yet Tunsil and the three defensive players we always discuss going in with the next three picks, and you were left to choose, and you couldn't move out, who would the guy be for you? And I would say, Tony, Shaq Lawson, Noah Spence kind of split the vote for the most votes out of any player out there. Does that surprise you?
No, because, you know, Spence has been on people's minds the longest this year. So
I agree.
Far.
Right. Spence didn't surprise me. Shaq Lawson, though, seemed to be the pick out of all the other, you know, the collection of other potential first-round DNs.
I mean, I think Lawson makes sense if there's a trade-down scenario. Let's say if they trade with the Rams and where they're sitting at, you know, in the top 15 still, you have an extra pick or two you can maybe reach for Lawson because he is, you know, that kind of pass rusher. During the break, you asked about Carl Nassib.
Yes, we had another one on the text line who asked, what's your opinion on Carl Nassib, or particularly if he were available, the Penn State edge rusher in the third round.
Well, he's listed at 6'7", 276, which to me takes him a little bit out of that Fowler edge rush role. He makes him more of that Jared Odrick role, projected day two. But he's a one-year wonder, but that 1 year was pretty wondrous. You know, first led the nation in sacks with 15 and a half tackles for loss, nearly 20. First team All-American. So, but if he weighed 15, 20 pounds less, you say, okay, he could be an option.
15, 20 pounds less, though, at 6'7", might start to get to the point where you're getting pushed around all the time.
So at 6'7", 276, I think he's probably just a 4B here. But, you know, at the second round, let's say they took Jack, if you get to the second round, I would just start taking defensive ends because you need bodies, you know, and take a couple of them, and if they hit, great, because you need somebody who can start rushing a quarterback.
Let me ask you this. Is it out of the realm of possibility, either if they sit there, depending on what comes off the board, or if they move back a little bit, is DeForest Buckner, should he be on the radar, or is he, you know, because, again, he's been described to Tony and I as the perfect end, you know, the Red Bryant end in this Gus Bradley defense, but is that something the Jags should spend that kind of draft capital on?
I would think not, because you feel pretty good about what you have there already. But, I mean, if Buckner's your option, that's probably the doomsday scenario.
Right.
You know, I think they would probably consider taking him because they feel, okay, he's an impact player at some position. So, I mean, at that point, they're probably
calling. Put it this way, if you could draft a star at that position, right, and you thought the fourth Buckner was going to be that star, do you have a problem with the fact that Odrick's making $8 million?
I don't.
I don't either.
No.
I don't know. Tony and I talked about this a little bit yesterday.
It's that disaster scenario where basically if they're put on the board and nobody's coming up to get Buckner, nobody wants to come up and get any of these guys, so you can't get out of that fifth spot, and now you're just talking about which would make you least upset, right? It's if they just take Buckner because they think he's probably the highest-rated player left on their board at that point. Do they reach for Lawson? Do you want to see him reach for Hargraves? Would you rather see them reach for a position that's more perceived as a need at five because it's a need, or just take the player that they think is the best available to them in this draft? And it's an interesting question because everyone feels like they do have those two spots on that left side of the defensive line handled right now, especially with spending that money on Malik Jackson, but they could potentially be put in a spot where that's where their value is in the draft.
Yeah, but there's no question, though, that teams reach a point of critical mass. When you draft Adrian Peterson and you've got, you know, the position locked down, you're not looking to get a running back. I'm not saying they have the Adrian Peterson equivalent of that spot, but when you have your guy at certain positions, you may draft depth, but you don't usually spend the fifth overall pick if you feel like you're pretty solid in that regard. So it'll be interesting to see. We have no idea what their evaluation of Buckner is at this point. They may think he's more just strictly suited to a 3-4 defensive end, which a lot of people, I think that's probably the position most people think he would thrive the most in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to find those guys, right, that have some pass rush ability. That's why you do see him mock to San Diego quite a bit with the third pick. So we'll see how that all goes. All right, we'll take a time out here. We will come back and hear a few of the thoughts of your quarterback, Blake Bortles. He joined the boys on the drill for a few minutes this morning. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Hauer, and Fat Tony here with you. It's a Wednesday brought to you by our friends at Metro Rooter for all size plumbing jobs, in-home, commercial plumbing, industrial plumbing, septic systems. You name it, if it has to do with plumbing and you've got an issue, call Metro Rooter. They're the people with the solutions. Same-day service, weekends included. The right people. people with the right equipment. That is why Metro Rooter has been so successful serving Jacksonville since 1978. Visit them online. MetroRooter.com is the website. Call 695-1911. I saw one of their trucks out on the road this very morning as I was coming in down Emerson. 695-1911 for Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars Today, right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
My question is, have you had time? Have you taken the chance? I know you've got this. I know you're going to have the Tahoe event. Are you working on your golf game enough, Blake? I trust you as a quarterback. We got to get you, you know, we got to get you in the 80s, under 80 even.
Yeah. I'm working on it. I currently have done nothing to my game since the last time I saw you guys. But it's still a work in progress. I watch the Golf Channel probably daily, so I take mental notes.
There you go.
Like that. But yeah, I'm definitely working on it. I got to beat more than Charles Barkley this year in Tahoe. And I can't really embarrass myself at my own golf tournament, I guess. So I got to do something.
Oh, the problems of a 20-something millionaire.
How dare he watch the Golf Channel?
He's not grinding?
Work, boy.
Is that with Tom House right now? Is that throwing patterns to Marquise Lee?
You remember last year when someone said that Blake shouldn't be golfing, he should be throwing the football?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's kind of what we're alluding to. You know?
Yeah, we had Terrence call and ask what hand he golfs with.
My.
He's putting it at risk. He's
risking his arm with the swing. I don't know if anyone's come down with that injury, any Mike. Quarterback anyway.
No.
Thank you, Terrence.
Mike.
Appreciate you. Terrence, stop.
Mike.
You stop. It's just a great problem to have. Hope I, when I go to Tahoe golfing in the celebrity event this year, I beat more than Charles Barkley.
Right.
I'd like to give it a shot as well myself. So bring me along, Blake, if you'd like to. Blake Bortles this morning on the drill here on 1010XL 92.5 FM for a few minutes. So let's listen in to a couple of things he had to say. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, and Fat Tony here with you on a Metro Rooter Wednesday on Jaguars Today. Blake talked about the Jags. Now, we've seen it, Ryan. Now, ESPN had him in the power rankings, I think 29th, something like that. Was it 29?
29.
29, right? Yeah. 29. But that bucks a trend where we've seen a couple of outlets, including USA Today, rank him in kind of the mid-teens, mid to high teens, as in terms of a power poll. You get the sense nationally there's a feeling that this team is improving. We talked about Pete Carroll earlier. It may have been off the air. I like you said, what is he going to say about his former protege in Gus Bradley, and you know he was asked about the Jags. Hey, I think they're an up and coming team. They could make some noise this year. But there does seem to be a feeling that they're being recognized. That the offense kind of got put together last year. They added a few last pieces on the line in the backfield, and now you're adding what you hope are some impact defensive players. So do you get the sense out there, whether you agree with it or not, that nationally there is let's keep an eye out because this team might be on the come this year.
I don't. Like, what I hear is, well, it looks like they found the quarterback, but is he going to be a great stats, bad team guy? You know, is it going to really matter? Because nobody should have any confidence that this team is going to do it, turn around, because they just haven't done it. So, what the vibe I got at the meetings last week was, okay, they signed a lot of guys. How are all these pieces going to fit? And the biggest other one was, why did they sign Chris Ivory? That was the major one. Why don't they like TJ Yeldon? So,
see, that to me doesn't surprise me at all, because when TJ got hurt last year, I mean, the running game completely disappeared.
Maybe people thought they should have gone after some other running backs. Alfred Morris would have been a better option. A lot less expensive.
Not to me.
I think the Chris Ivory deal is going to be, I mean, you were playing with Monopoly money, so I don't know how he's going
to
do it.
Yeah, but if you look
better
at the deal, you know, the first couple of years of the deal are really all that matters when it comes to Chris Ivory. He's never seen the back end of that deal. He's never seen year three, I don't think, of that deal.
See, now you're bringing out the negative in me. I was going so good here for an hour and 23 minutes.
I'm just talking.
My thing is, like, with each guy they've signed, you say, okay, how do they make them better? Tayshawn Gibson is the key to this free agent class, period. If he works out, then he'll have a ripple effect if he settles down that position. If they're still searching for free safety stability, halfway through the year, then the entire regime is in trouble.
All right, here's what Bortles was asked, because there are some publications out there that have seen the Jags rise in the power rankings, for instance. So he was asked about that, the Jags seemingly gaining respect and a little bit of hype around the league this offseason.
I think you see stuff on social media or whatever, but you know you got to try and ignore it, because we're a long way from from the season and from actually winning football games. So you know I think it is cool to get that kind of recognition and get guys starting to talk about us and what we're gonna do and the capabilities that we have. But we still have to go and put the work in the fall and in OTAs and obviously bring it in the season when it starts.
Yeah, look, I think people fall in love with offense, and that's really what those rankings become. We had the question yesterday, who is your favorite player from not your team?
Right, and 98% were offense.
It's going to be quarterbacks and running backs from other teams that you watch star, basically. And I think that's what it becomes, is this Jaguars offense looks like it's turning into something. And are they putting the pieces around it defensively to make them competitive in 2016? I don't know. I think they're better than they were in 2015 on that side of the ball right now. But how much better? I agree with you, Ryan. I think it is about how do these pieces fit and what is it going to look like, especially with that free safety signing. Blake Bortles this morning on the drill was also asked about the offseason additions to this roster in general.
No, I'm excited for it. You know, I know that Gus and Dave and Shad and the scouting department do a really good job and, have the best interests of our team and putting the right pieces in the right place. I'm always excited to see, what they do, what moves they make, and looking forward to working with the guys that they bring in.
Yeah, one more point on the defensive part is, I'm going to sound like a broken record here, but had they gotten Vernon, I think that would have made Malik Jackson more effective right away. It would have made Fowler more effective. So had they been able to get him, I mean, you could say, okay, now you see what the foundation is. They're missing they have Fowler, but after that, they're still missing a very vital area of that, and it's going to be tough to address pass rush in the draft. So it's they're better, but they're still okay. What's going to happen with this guy? What role is this guy going to play? If they draft a Buckner, what does that mean for Audric? So it's, they seem right now they have like everything in the pot. They just have to like get something out of it.
All right, moving on, Blake Bortles talked about this year compared to last year. Of course, he went out to work with Tom House last year, and we talked to him throughout the season, Tony. He said he felt like his mechanics held up pretty well in his second season, some of the tweaks they had done. So he talked about training out in California. That's part of that is training with his teammates out there. Part of it's working with Tom House. Just what's the plan this year compared to last offseason?
Last year it was kind of a complete makeover, physically, mechanic-wise, to whereas this year, it was kind of just fine-tuning a couple different things, and not, as much of a drastic change. So it was a little different there, but, hopefully it is getting smaller and smaller of changes each year.
Does he get better this year, Ryan? I mean, we're kind of almost sitting here assuming that for anything good to happen for the Jags, he's got to take a continued step forward probably for the next several seasons. Do you expect that will happen?
I do. The big thing is going to be the completion percentage. Does it go up? And do the interceptions
go up? The killer ones especially.
Yeah. So if he can, it's going to be a surprise if he hits 35 touchdowns again. But if he can cut down those interceptions, I think that's going to be the key in showing his progress. And like you said, you go back and look at those interceptions, how many were in the red zone, how many were returned for touchdowns. If he can slash those numbers, then he'll be in good shape.
Whether his TDs go up or down, and I agree, Tony and I have talked about this at length, they probably do come down because if you have a better team, right, mm-hmm. a slightly better defense, whatever, better running game, it's going to draw away from your need to pass so much in the fourth quarter. But do you think the offense is better this year? Do they score more points on a weekly basis? Overall, generally, whether it's coming from the passing game or the improvement in the running game or what have you?
That's tough to say right now because they made such a big jump last year. A couple of those games they got into shootouts because they had to score a lot, like New Orleans and the Tennessee loss. But every team has those kind of games. But, are they going to be better on third down? That's a key. And what were they at, 22 points a game?
Something like that.
You know, can they get up to 25, 26? That's just another field goal.
Right.
I think that's, I mean, I think that's a realistic goal to go from 22 to 25, 26.
And where that ranks you in the NFL, generally, you know, 3 points is a big swing, typically, where you, when you're comparing to the rest of your peers around the league.
26 sure. gets you a top 10, doesn't it?
It'll get you right around there. Jacksonville, 23.5 points a game last year. That was good enough for 14th in the league. If you bump that up to 27, say, they improved by 3.5 points. 27 points a game will put you fourth. Behind only New England, Arizona, and Carolina.
You take that.
No doubt. There's absolutely no doubt.
I mean, 3 points. It's really, when you look at it like that, can we get one more field goal drive, one less killer interception every 2 weeks, and that results in you getting, you know, one more touchdown or a couple more field goals or whatever the case may be.
And one thing that they talked about across the hall this offseason is how can they start games better? I mean, they were terrible on their opening drive, yet at the start of the second half, they're very good on their first drive. So if they can, you know, like you're saying, if they can get a lead, it can start running it and maybe run it better. So it if they can start games better, that could play in the score more overall.
Sure. And the other issue for this team, with the additions they've made, trying to get better on the defensive side of the ball, we've been talking about since free agency opened up, it's not like Tennessee and Houston have been sitting there stagnant. You know, there are a lot of teams in this league that felt like they've gotten better in the last month and a half. Jacksonville had a lot of ground to make up on a lot of these teams, which is why it's really difficult to try to project, are they the 17th, 18th best team in the league right now? It feels a little absurd to call them that. Is it nice if you're a fan to get that kind of validation from somebody that maybe you are moving into that kind of territory, that kind of conversation? Yeah. But it's really difficult to say that again without seeing any result of what they've done on the field yet, given what we've seen in the first 3 years of this regime.
Like when you start training camp in this division, you know, Brock Osweiler is the highest paid quarterback in the division. Would you rather have him instead of the other three guys? I wouldn't.
Well, no.
So, but that shows you how just because Houston added Osweiler doesn't mean they're going to make a quantum jump.
But you know? Would you rather have Osweiler, from what you've seen right now, or Brian Hoyer? Mm-hmm. Right? My answer would be yes, because yeah. I've seen the meltdowns with Brian Hoyer now, particularly in the postseason last year, that I'll take the chance on the unknown potential of Brock Osweiler. Saw enough that he didn't look like he was in over his head, and, you know, but I agree with you. If you look at it, Andrew Luck, Blake Bortles, and Marcus Mariota, I think right now I'd take any one of those guys over Brock Osweiler. Finally, Bortles has got a big charity event coming up, his first charity golf tournament for his foundation. You discussed that with Dan and Jeff as well.
It's going really well. April 15th and 16th with concerts on both nights with John Party and Kane Brown playing. And the golf's almost sold out. Very few spots left. They've actually just opened it up to where you can now buy a single slot rather than a foursome.
Okay.
And you can do all this at BlakeBortlesFoundation.org. So it's really awesome. I'm excited about it. I'm excited to kind of do this whole thing and you know, see how much of a difference we can make in the community while having a blast and hopefully raising a lot of money.
All right, there you go. BlakeBortlesFoundation.org. You can find out more about what Blake's got cooking on the charity front there as well. That does it for the Jaguars quarterback who joined the drill live this morning here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. We will continue along a Metro Rooter Wednesday in a moment with the fan feedback spotlight, asking you today if a prospect is not going to work out before the draft, is that going to make you nervous? Does that lessen your desire for the Jaguars to take him, with Miles Jack specifically in mind, obviously, but in a general sense, you can answer the question as well. At MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, and at 1010XL Fat Tony on Twitter, and of course on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. We'll take a look at some of those responses when we return in a moment on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
So the best part about this is you basically became a coach for Antonio, teaching him what? Rubbing, touching? What other things did you learn this week, AB?
To put my hips on the leg, a lot of stuff.
How did that work out for you?
It was a little difficult.
Really? Why?
Blood flow.
Yeah. Booming. Booming.
I'm glad Aaron Andrews' quest to be taken seriously is going
Aaron.
Well.
Thanks, Aaron. Thanks for checking in, Morley. I mean, Aaron.
Wow.
Pathetic.
Wow. Wow. Apparently, Antonio Brown, I haven't seen Dancing with the Stars. I know he's on it. And apparently his dance partner is very attractive.
A.B.
That's her guy, A.B., I guess. They're like that. They're close like that, Ryan.
Jeez.
She's commenting on the what happens when they're rubbing, touching, squeezing.
NASCAR?
Maybe. Robin's racing, Tony.
That's right.
Maybe they're racing. I don't know. Dancing with the Stars. There you have it. Today, the fan feedback spotlight here on Jaguars Today, which is brought to you daily by the Tom Bush family of automobile dealerships, asked you, does a player such as Miles Jack announcing that he will not go through a full workout before the draft affect your desire to see the Jaguars draft him? At least that was the question on Facebook. I had to squeeze that bad boy down to 140 characters or less on Twitter. But you got the idea. Miles Jack is, he did participate partially at the UCLA Pro Day, but, you know, for instance, Laremy Tunsil, right? Not going to run a 40, not going to do some stuff because of the bad hamstring. He's an offensive lineman. Maybe it impacts him differently in your eyes. You don't need to see that. Miles Jack, we know the film says he runs well, but he did have a knee issue that cost him basically his junior season, and, you know, that guys who previously ran well have injuries sometimes. They don't run as well. The feeling is he's going to be fine, but would that impact your decision? Let me ask you, first of all, does this give you any pause at all with Miles Jack, or if they pull the trigger, are you confident that he's going to be a playmaker for them?
It gives me enough pause where if I'm the Jaguars or the other teams, I just make those calls to say, okay.
Extra due diligence.
Tell me I shouldn't be worried, that kind of thing. You know, they've been putting up some of those videos so you can see that. It wouldn't ultimately make me pass on the guy, but if him and Ramsey are both there.
Maybe a tiebreaker?
It could be a tiebreaker.
Okay, Tony, I don't think for us, because we both said we'd take him, it's not, in this particular instance, what we know right now, it's not giving us too much pause.
No, the sense of it is what we talked about early on in the show that Ryan pointed out, that it feels like somebody's telling him and his agent basically that there's no need for you to do that. And if it means risking injuring a hamstring or something like that just to get yourself in a position sometime in the next 3 weeks to run a 40-yard, something as silly as a 40-yard dash with where teams are talking about you right now, then just don't worry about it. You know, it's not going to affect you when it comes to the draft. And with that in mind, it doesn't affect the way that I view Miles Jack as a player. Do I wish we had seen a full workout from him at some point during this process? Yeah, but I'm not that nervous about it considering the severity of the injury for Miles Jack when he should be able to get back on the field and practice with whatever team drafts him and what you can see on film from that guy playing his last couple years at UCLA.
I do think his camp made a little bit of a miscalculation from a perception standpoint, where at the combine he says, okay, I'm not ready, but I'll be ready, you know, March 20th at UCLA Pro Day.
Yeah.
Gets it. Well, you know, I'm
not quite ready
April
now.
April 1st.
Right, I'm going to do another one April 1st.
Okay, maybe not now. If they had to do it over again, I thought maybe they probably would have said, he's not ready, and we're not gonna proclaim a date that he's going
to
be ready.
Right, and as soon as he is ready, he'll be happy to work out for you, and hopefully that will be before the draft. But the film doesn't lie. He's got all that. And then if he had showed up and done some stuff at UCLA's Pro Day and said, hey, here's where I'm at right now, you know, that you're right. The perception might have been a little bit
different.
And
he may be one of those guys that's just, you know, the Lamborghini type, right, where it's kind of like Marquise Lee, whether you're always going to be teased by what is there potentially physically for that guy, and he may just be one of those guys where you do have to consider, is there always going to be something with this guy because of how just tightly wound he is as an athlete and the athleticism he shows at his size and the ability to play offensive defense and the power that he plays the game with? Is it always going to be something with Miles Jack where he's dealing with something like this?
You just caused Jaguar fans to jump underneath their table with a Marquise Lee comparison.
Here's what they said on Facebook, some of the Jaguar fans who weighed in today. Damon said it shouldn't affect the Jags. And a lot of people on Facebook, because we used his name in the question, are directly talking about him. It shouldn't affect the Jags from drafting Miles Jack. Jack's an absolute physical beast. I saw some of his recent workouts, says Damon. The comparison to Ray Lewis, he said, dude, comparison to Ray Lewis is dead on point, but he's more versatile than Ray, and he can play more positions. Let's all just pump the brakes
on Ray.
On this Ray Lewis
Ray may
stuff.
Be the best middle linebacker in the history of the game.
And versatile, okay, could he cover better than Ray Lewis potentially? Is he faster maybe? Ray Lewis was a guy who hit thresholds of sacks and interceptions that like nobody else had the same hit the same minimum thresholds in each category like Ray Lewis did. He's an all-timer, like you said. Let's not get too carried away with the Ray Lewis that he's better than him in too many things. Comparisons, at least from our point of view. Marshall said, no, it's okay. The season didn't start Friday. Jack's got teams upset about having to come back out to see him run. It's good. Then we have a better chance of him falling to us. That's one way to look at it. Hashtag Jaguars today. Tony said, not at all. The agents tell them what to do. Well, yeah, but if you're healthy, the agent's probably not going to tell you, hey, don't work out, right? I mean, it's a question of does the lack of him being healthy completely scare you? Chad said no, but I'd take Ramsey over him anyway if he's available, and much like Ryan would. And DeMarcus said, not at all. The film doesn't lie. This guy's a baller. What'd they say on Twitter, Tony?
Here's what we got from Irish Jaguar. He's a true believer here. It's a concern, I guess, but I'm not paid to worry about that. Whatever Dave does, I trust him. From Daniel, Jesus. A little because I assume he's hiding something that's the skeptic in me. From JP, better than not working out after the draft. But from Eric, maybe the work ethic I want is a tireless worker, but if the talent is there already, it may not. From Chris, yes, unless it is publicly known he is coming off the injury. From Cristiano, no, if the film is there, take him. From Chris, no, if it is likely he will be ready by camp, which it is likely. From Joey, nope, trust the tape in your medical evaluation. From Enfuego, it's like waving a tiny red flag. I would be way more focused on what they put on tape. And from Black Dog, refusing to work out is a fear of exposing a weakness, raises a flag for me, but that doesn't mean that I wouldn't draft him.
That sums it up pretty good from what I'm looking at is is he totally healthy, but ultimately, okay, you have to, you know, if you really feel confident about him, you'll make the pick.
You know, here's the thing to me. People have latched on to the NFL and really bought in. The NFL has done a wonderful job brainwashing us all in many categories, but the whole, we want competitors. It's what they use to shame guys into working out when they want them to work out. If you knew, Ryan, for instance, if you were Andrew Luck, and you pretty much knew you were the number one overall pick, or pick a guy in a year where he's really the strong consensus number one guy, why would you work out at that point? It's not a matter of being afraid to work out. It's just pragmatic. You could get hurt. Why do anything that can only drop your stock? If your stock is at the top, I would advise my guy not to do a single thing. You want to say anything you like about him? That's fine. Say it after he walks up to the podium as the first pick in the draft, because I just don't. It's not a game about showing who's more macho. It's about maximizing how high you're going to get drafted and therefore how much money you're going to make right out of the gates.
Well, that's why I thought Ramsey did it the right way, is he did the workout at the combine, said, I'm here to work. Great results. He said, that's it. See you at the draft. You know, he did only positional yesterday in a game with Tunsil. Well, my hamstring hurts. I mean, nobody's asking you to run a 40, you know, just
right.
It's just to me, like you brought up the point about Jack. Everything has to be just right. I think that's what Tunsil's going to be. He's going to go number one. He probably should go number one, but is he going to be the guy who misses a game with a sprained toe?
Maybe,
you know, so that you also have to get inside this guy's head a little bit. Say, okay, what it's gut check time. Is he going to be able to play through something?
If it's that, it's that. But at the same time, coming from like an agent's or a player's perspective, I don't care. That's not my concern. My concern is maximizing how high I go in the draft. And you can say anything you want about my competitive nature. If I think by not working out, I am protecting my already lofty status and I can only go down from here, I think that's a smart business for those guys. But not every team probably sees it that way. And certainly that kind of thinking is filtering into the fan bases out there as well, based on some of the responses we got today. Next week, next Monday, you're in with T-Wig, right?
At the golf course.
We're breaking ground. Neither Tony or I will be here. We probably had one or two of those shows along the way, Tony.
No doubt.
We've had a couple of fill-ins for us. Tony's going to be up at Augusta for the Masters next week. I'm going to be playing in the Googan Golf Tournament, which the weather is supposed to be spectacular on Monday, if you can trust the extended forecast. So we'll look forward to that. What do you have coming up in the TU in the next few days?
Hayes Carlion has a mock draft, first round.
Nice.
Either tomorrow or Friday. We'll have our Jaguars notes package in Sunday's paper.
All right, we'll look forward to it, Ryan.
Is the first rounder included, or have you guys given it up to go get Josh Norman for the mock draft?
It says vacant.
Vacant
Norman,
right, and then next year's mock draft also.
We have a
vacant
preview.
Norman.
We have a preview of next year's just the teams, and it says Carolina from Jacksonville.
Ah, very nice. There you go. All right. Thanks to Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor here on Jaguars Today. Thanks to Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union, for Joe Fortunato, for Tyler Devitt, and for Fat Tony. Thanks to Scott Wright of DraftCountdown.com for joining us and weighing in with his thoughts. Tomorrow, we'll talk about some of the results from Miami's Pro Day, among other things. And David Garrard will join us in studio on Friday to wrap up the week here on Jaguars Today. That does it for us. XL Primetime is straight ahead on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.